When someone dies, those left behind each grieve in their own way. Now, for the first time, a large-scale study is underway to understand the impact that the death of a service member has on his or her family. Dr. Stephen Koza is professor of psychiatry and the associate director of the Center for the Study of Traumatic Stress at the Uniformed Services University. He joins me now to talk about the National Military Bereavement Study. Dr. Koza, thanks for coming on.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right, so tell us about what it is you're studying and the size and scope of this effort.
So the purpose of the National Military Family Bereavement Study is to really look at the impact of service member death on family members. And surprisingly, when we began to examine the challenges that military families face as part of our overall mission at the Center for the Study of Traumatic Stress at the Uniformed Services University, we realized that no study has actually ever examined the impact of death. So we started a process several years ago of initiating a study of military families. We were interested in collecting data on family members where there had been a death of any type, whether that had to do with a combat-related death, whether it had to do with accident, suicide, illness, and we've been recruiting family members across the country now for several years to better understand their experiences so that we may better be able to inform policy and inform services that are provided to them in the future.
And how do you gather data? What is it? Is it all personal experience revelation? I mean, what kind of information do you get from people?
Sure. So what we do is, and there are several ways that people can join the study. The easiest way is for people to visit our website, which is www.militarysurvivorstudy.org. And at that website, we ask them to provide some brief information to ensure that they're eligible to participate for the study. And then they complete an online questionnaire that provides information about themselves, about their deceased service family member, about the nature of the death, and we ask them about a variety of different experiences that they've had and also about their grief experiences. So what has it been like for them? What has been helpful to them? What challenges have they faced? And depending on their interest, they're able also to participate in an ongoing participation in the study by involvement in interviews with our field researchers. So for those who would like to participate more actively in the study, they can speak with our interviewers, and that would be on three occasions over a two-year period, initially 1 year later and 1 year after that. So not only do we get a snapshot picture of how people are doing, we also get to talk with them over time to understand how their experience of grief might change over time.
And how many people do you expect will participate by the time you're ready to roll this thing all up?
Well, so the study has been actively, we've been actively recruiting participants now for a bit of time. We have over 2,000 family members currently involved in the study. And in terms of our ongoing interviews for the study, we have about 800 adults and 100 children that are participating, providing yearly interviews and also for those who are willing to participate, are providing saliva samples that allow us to collect information that might help us understand what sort of genetic factors might impact an individual's grief response.
We're speaking with Dr. Stephen Koza. He's professor of psychiatry and the associate director of the Center for the Study of Traumatic Stress at Uniformed Services University. And so there's, as you mentioned earlier, there are many situations. Someone could be lost in combat, someone could be middle-aged, some could be even a teenager and lost still in the military, or, you know, 19 or 20 years old. So will you look at people in different sort of buckets of demographics depending on, you know, where they were at the time of the death?
Absolutely. So what we do understand is that a grief experience is very personal, and it varies in a number of ways depending upon circumstances, depending upon the type of death, depending upon the relationship of the individual to the deceased, whether it's a parent or a spouse or a sibling or a child of a service member. And those are the family relationship categories that are eligible to participate in the study. So we expect that all of those experiences are different, and then there are individual factors that may contribute to how a person does. So, you know, we don't want to come up with one-size-fits-all grief response or grief support programs for people. We want to understand that this is a broad population with broad needs, and we want to help better define what those needs are so that we can continue to meet them into the future.
And so once the study is completed and there is this greater understanding of the grief process and how people are affected, how might that actually inform policy?
So hopefully what we'd be able to do is to understand that if there are certain services, for example, or if there are certain programs that people have been involved in that have been particularly helpful, then we might be able to expand those services or expand the support that people are provided. If we find gaps in what people are finding helpful and there are needs, or there are needs that are geographically based, or there are needs that are relationship-based. For example, military-dependent family members, like spouses and children, can be tracked a whole lot easier by the military because they're in the DEER system and we know who they are. But parents and siblings are not tracked in that system. They may be identified through the survivor programs as next of kin. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. So how can we keep track of those individuals within the family who have needs and be best able to meet those needs?
And is the VA, they must be looking at this too, because they would have a role down the line for some of these families.
Absolutely. So the VA has grief-related program, grief support-related programs that they provide, and we've worked actively with the VA as well, both in terms of recruitment and hopefully in the future being able to provide information that would be helpful for them to continue to do the great job that they're doing.
And military suicide has been something in the news. It's attracted the attention of Congress and a lot of people in the military and the VA. And have you noticed so far in studying this, is there some added element in the grief of people where the loved one has committed suicide versus died in an accident or in combat?
Sure. Well, a few things about that. First, I would say that it's important to remember, including suicide, accident, combat, that we see a high percentage of sudden and violent deaths in this population. And we do know that sudden violent deaths oftentimes lead to greater difficulty when it comes to grief responses in surviving family members. So that's a particular interest of our study. But suicide specifically, we're still collecting data, so we don't have specific analyses that we can refer to. But anecdotally, what we can certainly say is that when a family member dies of suicide, it may be more difficult for those family members to be able to seek out help and services. There can be stigma associated to the death of a family member by suicide, and that can then put a family member at greater risk potentially. So we'd like to determine, in fact, whether we're finding that in our study. That was a question that we had in proposing the study. But we do want to ensure, I think just in general, that those family members of suicide deaths really, we reach out to them, we provide support, and engage them actively to ensure that they can take advantage of the same support services that are available for all types of military death.
And just give us a sense of the timeline here. How long will the study go on? How long will you ingest information? And then where will the report go when you are presumably finished and there will be a report at the end, correct?
Sure, that's absolutely correct. And so one of the reasons we're really wanting people to hear about the study at this point is because we're getting to a point by the end of February where we will be closing recruitment for our longitudinal portion of the study. That means those individuals that we talk with at three time points. And so we want to give the opportunity for anybody who would meet our inclusion criteria to participate if they'd like to. But having said that, when recruitment stops at the end of February, we will continue to collect data for an additional 2 years. We have examined other existing data, archival data that's available through the DoD, and we're beginning to analyze that in ways. So we expect that publications and information, both in the scientific literature and also just in generally putting information out to the public, will begin within the next couple of months, and that will likely extend over the next several years.
Dr. Stephen Koza is the professor of psychiatry and the associate director of the Center for the Study of Traumatic Stress at the Uniformed Services University. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.